Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you from Cigar Federation in sunny and breezy California. You've got our conscious Canadian is sitting in for Logan, who is on the road, on assignment, in an undisclosed location, and we can't really discuss that, so we're going to move on. John, how's everything going?
Doing well, man. It's it's a nice night in July outside on the patio, and I'm not wearing three layers of clothing and a toque and freezing my ducats off, so I have nothing to complain about at all.
Yeah, true story. We John and I are double dipping today. This is show number two for us. We wrapped up our pairing show, I don't know, about an hour ago, so if I slur my words, I apologize. We've got Eddie Guerra from... Wow, right off the bat. No, I was so... As I was saying it, I was thinking, I didn't ask him how to pronounce his last name, but I think it's Guerra, right?
Guerra.
Okay.
You gotta roll the R's, brother.
Gotta roll those R's.
I can roll the R's. I can. I can roll the R's.
Yeah, there you go. Chicks dig that.
Eddie... it's a family show. Eddie Guerra of Gurkha Cigars. Eddie, thanks for taking the time, man.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Eddie's the new so congratulations on the new position.
Thank you.
You're still in baby terms. You talk about your age at that position in months. So 2 months.
A little over 2 months. I actually started on my birthday. What are the chances of that?
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
Well, I mean, going to work on your birthday.
So you started with a day off. Everybody takes.
I came in. It was like my birthday present. Congratulations, you got a job. You start now.
Yeah. Well, paycheck's a paycheck, man. There you go. So I mean, like I said, you've just been in the in with Gurkha for a while, but for a couple months. But you've been in the business for a while in different forms. Give everybody a little bit of your background in the cigar business.
Sure. I started, let's see, 2012. I was living in Thailand, and I was in the hotel business over there, and I decided to start importing and distributing non-Cubans. Found a business partner over there, and we became the largest importers of non-Cubans in Southeast Asia. And then we started opening up whiskey and cigar bars. Ended up with 5 locations by the time before, you know, in a couple of years. And that's how actually I met Kaizad from Gurkha, and I import and distribute a couple of other guys. And when I moved back, I was trying to figure out what to do, and he called me up one day and he was like, hey, we got this available. Would you like to come on board? And that kind of happened.
It's always good to know people.
Kinda, yeah. It really worked out. I was like, wow, what a coincidence. I happen to be looking for a job right now.
So. Yeah, it's funny you should ask.
Yeah, happy birthday to me.
Yeah, no kidding. So what were the prices of cigars like in Thailand?
Oh, well, there's a 400% import tax. Let's just start off with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think we had this conversation before. That's why I brought it up.
Right when I moved back. So I'll give you a great example. Let's say one of our seller reserves from Gurkha, you know, MSRP here, you're looking at $13 for Solera. Over there, that'd be about $50. Oh. Now, what was great was before we came on board over there, you know, there was only Habanos. So, but they had the same tax situation. Oh. So, you know, you have a Cohiba Robusto that's going for about $120.
So all of a sudden, 50 looks pretty good.
50 looks pretty sweet, you know. So,
man, the stuff that we take for granted.
You know what? It's true, and I never knew that before I moved away. You know, I always smoked cigars here, and then when I moved away, it was like sticker shock. And coming back home was almost like cigars were free. Like, what do you mean they're $7 and $8? That's like free. Now that I'm back, they're not free anymore, right? It's expensive again.
Yeah, no kidding. We're trending in that direction, unfortunately. And
yeah, let's hope we don't get there.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows what the next few years are going to bring us, and I'm sure we'll have some questions about that as we move forward. I want to jump into the audience questions here. We've got a bunch of them. We've also got some great giveaways we're going to get into later. and and all that. So we'll jump in. First question, as I think we always ask one of Jason's questions first, Jason Myers. And I prepped you a little bit on this one, Eddie, because you pulled out the sheets. You have a ton of cigars. What are your regular production cigars, and how many cigars do you produce on an annual basis?
All right. Let's just go by our brick and mortar lines. We have the Stella Reserve 15, the Stella Reserve 15 Maduro, the Limitada, the Edición Especial, which is the 18. We're coming out with the 21 this year, so we'll throw that in there. You have the Royal Challenge Maduro. You have the
it's only a 58 minute show, man.
Yeah. Look, let's just say we have about 15 lines that we are brick and mortar exclusive, not including what we sell online. Right now, we're moving about 18 million cigars a year.
18 million.
Yeah. So
let that number sink in.
That's a couple of cigars.
Yeah.
18 million. Holy crap. That's one of those things where it's, I'm familiar.
That's as a whole. I mean, there's international sales involved in that.
Of course. I'm familiar with the cigar industry a little bit. At least I like to think that I am. And you said 15 million. That's a lot of freaking cigars.
18.
Sorry. I shorted you 3 million. I apologize.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. 3 million is no drop in the bucket. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot of cigars. Let's see. Now, okay, this is an interesting take on that question. This is a second part of Jason's question here. He says, do you view Gurkha as a mass market cigar company or something else?
Well, I think it's a little bit, because of the nature of online sales, I think there's a lot of mass market there naturally. It is what it is. You can't sugarcoat that. But I will say this, we're still a mom and pop company, still privately owned. And we do try to treat as much as boutique as possible. Granted, with our size, people will be like, there's no way you're boutique. But it's really a group of four guys that come up and do everything for this company. So there is a personal touch in everything.
Interesting. Yeah. So when you say there's a group of four guys that come up and do everything, what does that mean?
From conceptualization of the brands, design, blending, sales, strategy, implementation. I mean, it's just a core of four people. And other companies have 20, 30 people on staff. We really don't. So. Hmm.
So that's not like a board of directors type situation. Like that's
No. We rework it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have other employees, but it's four people that get together, put their heads together, and make it work. And we have a great team.
So are you one of the four people?
I happen to be one of them.
Wow.
Lucky me.
And on your birthday too.
And on my birthday, it was actually very exciting. Blown away by it when I started.
That's a pretty exclusive group, man. When you look at it like that, and then you start thinking about 18 million cigars, that's impressive. So do you guys? I mean, obviously your cigars are being made in multiple factories, I assume. Are these factories? Do you guys own any factories of your own? Do you own any fields that you work on, or is it other folks?
We do not own the factories outright. We do. 90% of their production is our product, but we don't own the factories.
Okay, so the factories that you work with, you're their main.
Yeah, they're great guys. They produce other great cigars for other people. They're phenomenal, phenomenal factories. But again, the sheer numbers of what we produce is
sure. You're dominating the rolling floor,
pretty much.
Which is it's actually kind of a fun way to put it. Can you tell us which factories they are?
We work with Cuevas in Santiago. Mm-hmm. That's mainly where our Stella Reserve lines are made. You were smoking the Seduction. That's made over there as well. And then we do a couple stuff with Abe Flores at PDR. Mm-hmm. That one is we don't have 90% of that factory. Naturally, right? Abe's a great guy. And then American Caribbean. In Nicaragua, phenomenal guys, great tobacco, and love work with them, and that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. Now, your role is your director of marketing, or marketing director, however they word it. Do you ever get to get your hands dirty, get down to the factory, and help on some blends? I mean, obviously, maybe not yet, but...
Well, no, not yet. I have partaken in working on 4 or 5 blends since I started, and selected some blends that we're going to run with this year at the show. Mm-hmm. So that's the fun part of work. That's when work is a blast.
So you do have some input on, or I say do, I mean, you just started. As your position develops, you know, over the next, let's say over the next calendar year, you mm-hmm. you'll have some input on the cigars that hit the market. It's not just, they don't come to you and say, hey, we're bringing these X amount of cigars to market, you know, sell them. I mean, you have some input on what actually goes out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
At being one of those four guys, I'd like to think that you would.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. When we get our test blends, we send them to 30, 40 people. We'd love to collect feedback and hear everything. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's fun.
You know, it's fun, though. Okay, it's fun, but I can imagine that's a lot of test blends, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun for you because you just started.
Right. Well, you know, that's what they told me this a while back. And I know a couple other guys from other companies that say the same thing. They're like, brother, you're all excited now because you just started. But you'll see once time goes along, you start only smoking 3 or 4 inches of a cigar and start throwing it away. And I was like, what are you talking about? No one does that. And I'm starting to realize that people really do that. I still can't personally do that. I don't know. Like,
depends on the cigar.
I find it disrespectful.
Oh, that's, you know? That's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, it really
is. Even a bad cigar is a good cigar.
Yeah, I mean, it's a handmade product, and a lot of time and effort goes into it. But if that's the case, then when you're on the IPCPR show floor, there's a lot of disrespectful people, man.
Listen, I see it. Look, not everyone's conditioned to smoke 8 to 10 cigars a day. I mean, and when you're doing a lot of testing, that kind of happens by default.
Yeah.
So other than that, you're trying to recuperate and let your palate rest.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the fun part. John, you want to jump in with some audience questions here?
Before we get to an audience question, I have a Logan-esque question. Eddie, obviously one of the within the name Gurkha, and obviously I'm smoking the Seduction. It's got a Gurkha Warrior on the band. And of course, Gurkha Warriors have a long history going back several hundred years of kind of being the baddest of the bad in the world. And, you know, every armed conflict in the world, Gurkha Warriors have kind of had this renown of being the toughest of the tough and the baddest of the bad. So can you talk a little bit about sort of the origins of Gurkha and sort of the branding? Like, does that come from Kaizad, or is that like predate Kaizad, or like maybe talk a little bit about that?
That's definitely a Kaizad thing. Kaizad, aside from being a history buff, he's an extreme military buff. Like, he's just in love with all that world. And when, you know the story about how he bought the company, like the name? Do you know that story by any chance?
No, I don't. I think our audience would love to hear it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He, I don't know, 1989 or something like that. He's hanging out on the beach in Goa, India. And there's some guys that are selling cigars there. And Kaizad was in the duty-free and watch business. And he wanted to buy some gifts to give to his clients. So he goes up to these guys and says, yeah, let me buy some cigars and put them in my duty free and give some away to some clients. And these guys were, you know, free spirited people, to say. And he's like, how many cigars do you have? And they're like, we have, I don't know, it was like a couple hundred cigars. And they're like, he's like, well, how much will you sell them all to me for? They're like, man, if you want to buy them all, you could keep the company. And so he bought the company for like $150.
What?
Yeah, during those days, it's crazy. And
wait. During those days, what year was this?
Late '80s.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Just before the boom.
Yeah. And off of some dudes like hanging out on the beach in Goa, And he's a genius, man. He had the foresight to turn it into what it was today. And he understands that premium market and understood it because he was in the premium watchmaking business and the duty-free business and loved the name, loved the history. You know, he is part Indian, so just kind of rolled with it. And it is what it is today because of it.
Yeah, that's one of those. I feel like there's a lot of stories like that in the industry, some that I buy and some that I don't.
Actually legit.
that one, I think I buy it. The one where, the blend came to me in a dream. Those types of stories, I don't really buy that.
right.
But, I found this piece of paper hidden in my attic, and my grandfather wrote down this blend. Now, I don't buy that.
Yeah, my grandfather is a blend master.
Yeah, but that's one of those stories that has some believability to it. John, I know you wanted to get in with some of these audience questions.
Yeah, so I'll, like I said, I'll get off the Logan-esque questions, and I can't click on questions because Hangouts is, you know, being fun with me. But I'm going to ask a question from Tripp, and it's a bit of a hard-hitting question. I'll paraphrase a little bit. But
awesome.
Tripp says, you know, Gurkha cigars, among hardcore cigar smokers, I think a lot of hardcore cigar smokers tend to maybe thumb their nose at Gurkha. How do you feel about this sort of mentality among the sort of cigar geeks? And what do you think is the strategy as you're coming in as the director of marketing? How do you feel about that? And how do you position yourself, or how do you see changing that among those hardcore smokers? Or, I mean, with 18 million cigars worldwide, is that even a concern within the company?
Well, I mean, it's always a concern. You want to hear what people have to say. You want to hear their opinions. And, you know, the best way to answer that question is facts are facts. I mean, not every cigar is for everybody. As I was mentioning to you before we got online, we have over 800 SKUs in our profile. So, you know, we make a cigar for everyone. You know, there might be cigars that you don't like, and there's going to be cigars that you do like. There's so many of those cigars. I mean, you know, I can make some recommendations if you feel we have cigars basically that are blended for the boutique-y cigar geek, which I consider myself one. You know, we have a lot of those cigars are blended for that palate, and we have a lot of cigars that go for international market. And what sells a lot in Asia, you might think is garbage here, but that's your personal opinion. It's subjective. I mean, it's the same thing with wine, right? So, again, I would just say, you know, keep on trying them. I can make some recommendations, and hopefully you find one that you like.
I mean, I can definitely say here in the Canadian market that people who are Gurkha smokers, and I work with a large chain of cigar stores here in Canada, and people who are Gurkha cigar smokers are very loyal. That is, you know, if you don't have Gurkha in the humidor, they'll say, why not? And they'll say, well, order it,
yeah,
because I'll buy it. And, you know, I think there is a lot of brand loyalty there that maybe some of the cigar geeks out there aren't aware of.
Yeah, we have some diehard fans. I mean, even, and I've known, again, as a distributor, I knew the company quite well. And when I first started, you know, they took me to some pretty big cigar events, one on the Poconos in Pennsylvania, and even I was blown away. I mean, it's cult followings. I mean, you're talking about our booth had 1,500 people standing in front of it screaming and chanting her name, and I was like, what? I mean, awesome. I love our cigars, but like, whoa. It's different strokes for different folks, and you got to try them. I guess it's kind of like craft beer, you know.
So we start talking about craft beer. I know we're both drinking something from Six Point. I'm working on the
great cream brewery.
Yeah, out of New York. I'm working on the cream ale brewed with coffee. It's actually quite tasty. Almost all the way through it, unfortunately.
You got the resin IPA, you know.
Yeah, I worked my way through their IPAs, from the resin, and then there's the Tiger.
Yeah,
there's another one. There's the IPA, the double IPA, and the triple IPA.
Yeah, I'm all about the resin, man. I think this one's good. It's not overbearing.
That's the regular IPA, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Bengal is one. Bengal's the double. I think a Tiger is a triple, something like that.
Probably like that, yeah.
So when you say that you've got, of your 800 SKUs, that's a lot of cigars.
Tell me about it.
You said that you guys do have some that are kind of blended to be more of a boutique style to yeah. fit that type of palette. Which cigars in your lines are those that are blended in that direction? I would think the Cellar Reserve would be one.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's also our highest rated cigar and probably a best selling cigar. I mean, that cigar sells in the millions alone. Wow. You have the Wholesaler Reserve lines. You have the Heritage that we got, you know, and as I was showing you earlier, like things that people don't know about, like got in the Lancero.
Don't say Lancero because I can already hear people clamoring, looking for those.
Yeah. We have the East India Classic Havana blend. That to me is epic. I love that cigar. You have the Ghost, you know, that does quite well. We have the Assassin. I personally like the Assassin because it's got some Cameroon in it, and I'm a big Cameroon fan, and it has some Matafina. Love Matafina. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those blends are – we have some new things coming out that are going to be phenomenal. But those blends were blends that these guys before, like, I came on board were like, hey, man, we want to find stuff that, like, we just salivate over. And that's kind of that all happened.
So – now, I don't know how much of this you can disclose and you can, you know, tell me to go to hell or whatever, but with IPCPR coming up, all mm-hmm. this FDA business going on, obviously you guys are going to be hitting the shelves with a lot of new things.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
It was actually going to be one of, you and I talked offline about this a little bit, but
yeah.
One of the questions that we've asked here a lot of the smaller companies, and you know they're really forthcoming with their information. And I always go back to our interview with Jason Holly of Viva Republica. He had a lot of really interesting things to say about the FDA, and he's a smart guy, so he understands what's going on. And he actually put it into terms that I can understand, which is kind of frightening. But for example, his company has, you know, five or six cigars in the market right now, and he's had a 10-year plan, and it's being pushed into like a 7-week plan now, and all 10 of those cigars are going to be available at IPCPR, yeah. So they can hit that August 8th deadline or whatever, August, whatever date it is,
yeah.
To have those cigars on the floor. And I've always wondered, is a bigger company like Gurkha, are you guys more focused on getting your ducks in a row with everything that is going to be grandfathered in? Because you guys are, like you said, you're going to have a ton of stuff that's still going to be available. Or are you really trying to crush the market with a bunch of new things, or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's a little bit of both. You know, again, we have a lot of pre-2007 stuff, mm-hmm. in the hundreds. You know, I mean, some companies are talking about they have four lines. You know, a very good friend of mine, another manufacturer, I won't disclose his name, but he's got about 9 to 10 lines, and he's absolutely okay. And he's like, "How many you guys got?" And I'm like, "I don't know, about 180." He's like, "What?" He's like, you know, so and we are coming out with a lot more. But see, the difference is what we're coming out with is stuff that's been in the market, but regionally. You know, it might have been a lot of shop exclusive that we spoke to the guy and said, "Look, we're going to take this national." And it's not about, hey, we want to dominate the market, but you know, there's something special every year when you could say, "Here's a new line.
Yeah.
Here's a new blend." You know, you got to keep the smokers interested, and it's, you know, it's part marketing as well, aside from sales. So we're going to be putting out a lot of stuff by the show, and it'll become available. It might be a little shocking to a lot of people. I mean, what we're announcing for the show, it's in maybe in the 20s, but what we're coming out with at that time that will be available, it's probably in the hundreds.
Shock and awe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an aspect that I hadn't really thought about, is the store exclusives, because I mean those are blends that have been on the market, they've been marketed,
they're
been
predicate
sold.
Blends, you know, and
yeah,
it you know what, sometimes, you know, with permission of the people you made them for, you got to say, hey, you know, we want to take this national. If they're cool, they're cool. If they're not cool, you can't do it, you know, because you got to keep your commitment. But there's also stuff that we've released that's like, you know, Florida only. Well, guess what? You know, that's now going to become national. You know, and that's just the way it goes.
Wow. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Eddie, you guys, obviously you have a lot of B&M blends, but you also have catalog blends. What do you like? Can you talk a little bit about the ratio between catalogs and B&Ms and maybe, you know, what strategy works for catalogs versus B&Ms? Like, is there a different approach in terms of the blends that you put out in regions?
You know, it's like catalog blends, they're meant to get the cigars in people's hands, you know, almost marketing wise, you want to do that. It gets the name out there, keeps the name in people's faces. It's almost a way of advertising. You try to make them as good as possible because granted your name is on it, so they can't be horrible, you know, so we try to do the best we can with those, but we try to make them at a price point that, you know, the everyday average Joe smoker could afford. You know, smoking cigars isn't cheap.
That's true.
A cigar costs more than a pack of cigarettes. If you're smoking two or three a day, I mean, guess what, man? It's an expensive habit. You know, it's hobby. Let me not say habit. Let me say hobby. But, you know, and this is kind of like what we stress with a lot of people. There's a Gurkha for everyone. You know, it might be online that you're getting some for $2 or $3 because you're buying them on specials with bundles and all that stuff. And then we have our superior lines that talk about, you know, the $2,000 stick, you know, which, so there, and it goes all the way across the board. So there's definitely a Gurkha for everyone. And, you know, we use online as a medium to try to get it into people's hands that can't necessarily make it to B&M's or.
So in a way, it's almost a bit of a loss leader to sort of introduce people to your brand and maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a loss leader. Consider it advertising as well. It's marketing. It's our way of doing it, and it works.
It's interesting, though. I'm going to make a kind of a connection here, and I don't know if I'm right or if I'm wrong. But so you could really separate the Gurkha line out into, you've got your premiums, you've got your ultra premiums, the, you know, the crazy price stuff, and mm-hmm. then you've got the more budget friendly things that end up in the catalogs and online and things like that. Mm-hmm. So in a way that's not any different than a company like Nomad Cigars, smaller company. They've got mm-hmm. his premium stuff.
Yeah.
But he's also got the therapy line, which is, you know, more affordable.
Absolutely. It's just different tactic on doing it.
Well, you're just doing it on a much larger scale.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, that's exactly what it is, but, you know, way larger. So, yeah. You know, when people are smoking, you know, your name's in their hand constantly, and it's that brain recognition.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it in those terms. Just a reminder to the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We are here with Eddie Guerra of Gurkha Cigars, and talking about 800 and however many SKUs and 18 million cigars sold annually, which is just insane. John, this next segment's brought to us by who?
This next segment is brought to you by Drew Diplomat. Download the app today. If you haven't downloaded the app, shame on you. Shame
I downloaded you. The app.
You did? Live I did. On I Cigar did. Chat?
Live and during the show.
I would download the app as well because I was a beta tester, but unfortunately the Canadian government hates tobacco and hates tobacco users. So what can
Canada.
Canada.
Canada Jeez. Sucks.
Canada.
So let's see. I want to jump into more of these audience questions here.
There's a couple of good questions from Chris Bros there.
Yeah, I see that Troop asked a question that I want to ask here because this is interesting. He says that a retailer that he doesn't want to name the retailer. So from an undisclosed retailer, he was told that Gurkha doesn't blend their own cigars and you buy blends, quote unquote, off the shelf from various factories. Is there any truth to that?
No. I think people might have a misconception on how it works or whatnot. We definitely work on our own blends. Granted, you know, we work with a factory. So do they have their submissions that they want to give us? Of course. You know, they'll come up to us and be like, hey, we got these great blends. You want to try these out to see if they work with any lines you want to come out with? And We smoke them, you know, naturally. You never know what you're going to find.
Sure.
But from my knowledge, and I know these guys quite well, and now that I'm working with them, but from before, like, even when you get those blends, you sit there and you say, hey, I want to tweak it a little bit here. Let's add a little bit of this. And basically, it's you're cooking, man. You know, you're let's change the recipes around. Let's see what's going to happen. You know, let's get this flavor. Let's get that flavor. That's basically what happens. And that, again, that happens with every factory in the world. They all have their master blenders, you know, and they all submit stuff. And owners and managers come in and give their input, and the blend starts changing. But they always present you with a base, you know. And that's just the way it works.
Yeah, and I mean, a company as your size, I mean, you're dealing with these, you know, several different factories, and these factories are dealing with other people. And there's, of course, there's going to be blends that they're gonna have. You know, maybe they had somebody come in and said they wanted 50,000 cigars of X blend, and then they crapped out on the deal, so now they're stuck with 50,000 cigars that need to move. And if the cigar is good, I mean, why wouldn't you sell it?
No,
I'm not suggesting that's what you guys do. I'm just saying,
no, yeah.
Why not? I mean, if it's a good cigar, it's hand rolled, it's premium, it's long filler, and it's got a good flavor profile, and you can put it in, like you said, you've got so many different mouths, okay, to feed, so to speak. Why
exactly.
Not?
It definitely happens. You'll have guys. Look, it's definitely not a grocery store where you come in and it's like blends from left to right. You know, these are your medium, your mild, and your full. Take a pick. You know,
yeah.
That never happens. But you will show up there, and the master blender runs up to you, and he's like, "Try these," you know, as a brewmaster would, you know, try this beer that I just came up with. Doesn't mean you're gonna not tweak with it, but yeah. you know, you get presented stuff, and you select, and you tweak, and you move forward. But there's definitely no supermarket style blend picking. I mean, I've heard. Like when people want to do private blends and stuff like that, where you have customers come in and be like, hey, I want to blend with my name on it just for me and my friends. I only want 1,000 cigars. People get presented, look, we've worked on these 10 blends before. I mean, if you like one, choose one. And that happens, but that happens with every factory across the board. But
yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me. And if that was a particular cigar, if that was how a particular cigar that I enjoyed, if that's how that cigar came to fruition, I don't think I'd care.
No, I mean, as long as it tastes good, smokes yeah. great, construction is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you can afford it. I mean,
I don't mean to poo-poo Tripp's question by any means, and that's not what I'm getting at. I imagine that there probably are places with that supermarket style where, and somebody with, as long as they meet the barrier of entry of dollars, if you know, if it's you know, I need 20 grand to get in the door. If I can get in the door, and they've got, here's a Nicaraguan Puro, and here's a Dominican Puro, whatever, and whatever blend you want or whatever, it's already done. I imagine that probably exists.
I mean, what if it's phenomenal? I'm sure it's happened before.
Yeah.
I guarantee it's happened before where guys are like, hey, let me go through some old blends that, you know, you guys have created, and, oh, wow, this is smoking amazing right now. When did you create this? Oh, I created that about a year ago. It's been sitting there like magic. You know, that's definitely happened.
Well, that happened pretty recently, and those cigars were really popular for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
From another company, but anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody seemed to care. John, you mentioned some questions you wanted to get into. Which ones?
Yeah, so Chris Bros has a question here. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. It's specifically around pricing, because Gurkha probably has the market cornered in terms of the broadest price range, in terms of something that's very affordable to something that I think goes well beyond the ultra premium, like talking about the Majesty Reserve. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, Gurkha probably has the market cornered in terms of both the most affordable and possibly the most expensive cigars in the market. Can you talk a little bit about maybe the market for the high end and who that appeals to?
It's crazy.
Yeah, because like some of those, like I see in Cigar Aficionado, right? Like $5,000 cigars.
Yeah, I mean, we have some expensive cigars. They're phenomenal cigars. And a lot of those are bought before they're even brought out into market. And as I've mentioned before, we do an immense amount of business overseas, and our clients overseas are, you know, and this isn't even a lie. I mean, I've seen, we have a beautiful lounge in the office, and these people show up and smoke there. I mean, heads of state, mega celebrities. You know, you have like royal families that from Middle East and stuff. They show up. They're all about our super expensive cigars. And I mean, there's a lot of things that go into making them expensive. There's a lot of reasons why I can say why. You can say it's super old tobacco, super rare, this and that. But I mean, a lot comes into the packaging. You know, when you have a camel bone humidor, you know, that has precious gems attached to it, encasing your cigars, you know, that brings up the price by a couple $100,000. You know, like that's, yeah. And that's happened, you know, last year they came out with the Maharaja and you know, it's $20,000 box. And even last year at the IPCPR, three boxes were sold in the US. So on the show floor. So it's not like it's fake. Oh, these people make this up. Like, I mean, it happened at the biggest cigar trade show in the world. So it's crazy.
I guess in a way you guys have a cigar to sort of hit every market from the, you know, oil tycoon all the way down to
absolutely
the catalog buyer.
Absolutely. I mean, we have cigars again, you know, you know what happens a lot. And I actually witnessed this. And when I was selling Gurkhas in Thailand, I saw it firsthand. There's big business in Asia, corporate gifting. You know, these guys, they're like, I want the most expensive thing you got. And, you know, by the way, the HMR here, when it's, you know, that of an expensive cigar, imagine with 400% tax on it. It's mind blowing. So, and these guys are buying them and giving them as gifts, you know, because they're very prestigious and hold a lot of weight and great cigar, but just is what it is. So in limited numbers and.
Well, I know there's a huge aspect of that in the Hong Kong market where, yeah. You know, especially like whether it's Habanos or non-Cuban, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head where it's as much about face and the perceived value perhaps as a gift rather than like, and I know that like, especially in the Hong Kong market, there's guys that'll spend $10,000 in cigars and they don't even smoke.
Yeah. Oh man. And it's not just cigars. One of the bars that I owned were also high end whiskey bars. Right. And I witnessed this with Scotch. I saw this, he was a deputy prime minister walks into the bar and we sold a single cask Scotch. And it was, the distillery closed years ago, so it's a very rare bottle. It's 45 years old. And the bottle was $8,000. Walks in, buys it cash, grabs it, right? And I'm salivating because I love Scotch. And I'm just sitting there, I was like, wow, this guy just bought. How do I become friends with this guy just so he doesn't drink? Right? And the guy pours it with Diet Coke and ice. And just puts it. He has no idea what he's drinking. And
party foul.
Yeah, and he's buying the best of the best. And you know, the same thing. Like what you said, these guys don't even smoke. They're corporate gifting these things, and it's crazy because the cigars are great. And I had the opportunity to try one. It was pretty cool, but it was interesting. I was like, wow, this is what it's like to smoke a car.
Yeah, weird. The mortgage, a couple mortgage payments. Or a down payment for a house in some parts of the country.
So,
I mean, in the 2 month crash course you've had since you've joined Gurkha, mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite blends to smoke? I mean, what was the one that you're smoking that you had the
Heritage for you? The Heritage.
Yeah,
love that cigar. And actually, this year at the show, we're going to come out with the Maduro. And we're also coming out with another new size. We're coming out with a 4.5 by 38.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, yeah, 4.5. It's actually one of my favorite sizes. So
is that like a petite Corona? Is that what that would fall under?
Pretty much, yeah. We're calling it a Robusto Corto.
That was going to be my next guess.
Yeah. Name. But it's phenomenal smoke. I'm a huge fan again of the East India classic Havana. Yep. The Extreme that we have, we're re-releasing it this year. We took it off the market for a minute last year because we had to deal with some legal issues, but regarding the packaging, that all got rectified now, and it's coming out. But what was beautiful is that as it was off the market the whole year, all the cigars aged an extra year and a half.
Nice.
So whoever gets them at the show this year is going to get some gems. And I smoke those quite a bit, but and you know the seller reserves are all solid. I'm a huge fan of the 18. For some reason, that one just hits my palate perfectly.
Now is that that's the one with the black label, correct?
No, the gold label.
The gold label.
Yeah, the black label is a Limitadas. It's the 15 year, but with a Maduro wrapper.
Okay. And the standard white label is what? Is it like the 10 year? Is that what it's called? Or
15 year.
15. Seller 15. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's probably the last Gurkha that I smoked, and I remember enjoying it, but it's been a while.
Yeah, it's a great cigar. It's actually our highest rated cigar. I mean, we get ratings from everywhere, and there was what's the name of the organization recently? International Cigar Association. They just gave us a 99 on it.
And
wow.
Yeah, it's a great cigar.
99 is a pretty good score.
I mean, yeah.
So. Not too shabby. So coming into a company like Gurkha that is, just to be frank, they're at least in our circles, is known more for their marketing than the blends.
Yeah.
You know, you get a great box, it comes with a knife, and you know this kind of thing. Is there pressure on you to kind of keep that trend going, or maybe are you thinking about maybe kind of taking a turn and focusing a bit more on the blends, that kind of thing? I mean, what's your approach? Yeah.
My little mixture of both, for personal reasons, I would like to focus a little more on the blends. They're all phenomenal, but getting people to try them, you know. So, again, like I hang around with a lot of cigar nerds, right? And I'm always handing them out, making them, smoking them, and I always get the same reaction, like, damn. This is actually really good. And it's like, I told you, man, you got to try it. And they're too busy with the whole boutique craze.
Make them smoke it without the band on. Don't tell them what it is.
No. So it's, but I would like to focus a little bit more on that. And I am going to start participating and creating some very different kinds of events and marketing activations that hopefully get in those people's hands and have them try it and help change some of their personal opinions. Again, we have a cigar for everyone. You know, you just need to try them. I can imagine it's a little daunting as there's so many, but
you got to get through all 800 SKUs.
Yeah, it's nuts.
that's a tough road to climb. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say just a quick comment from the audience here. Brock is on mobile, so he can't throw in a Q&A question. It was more of a comment than a question. And Eddie just wants to say he thanks Gurkha very much for the support because he's retired military. And thanks Gurkha very much for the support. And through the Cigars for Warriors program.
All right. Thanks. It's our pleasure. We are huge supporters of our armed forces. And you can't thank them enough. I mean, they put their life on the line for our freedoms. Absolutely. And I witnessed that our freedoms and the privilege that we have in this country. When you live abroad in a third world country for quite a bit of time, you really start to notice, like, we live in the greatest place on earth, man. And these guys, they put their lives on the line to help protect that, you know. So the least we could do is take care of them. You know, so somebody needs to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. so let's see, John, do we have any more audience questions we want to get into here?
We have like a dozen audience questions. I actually want to take a question here from Donald and paraphrase it a bit. Because, Eddie, you talked about, like, obviously 18 million cigars. That's not a small number.
No.
And, Donald Cozero, who's been a long-standing SIGFED member, and you kind of addressed this, that Gurkha doesn't currently own a factory, doesn't grow the tobacco. And I guess taking his question and paraphrasing, is there an opportunity there? Because, I mean, with 18 million cigars, obviously vertical integration would be a substantial cost savings, having your own growing operation, having your own factory. Is there, and maybe this isn't a question for you, but it, can you touch on why Gurkha's stayed away from that?
Yeah, actually I can, because I had that same question. So I had that question years ago. I mean, what, and it was answered pretty perfectly for me. At least I understood it perfectly, which was, you know, what made Gurkha special was we had the ability to buy tobacco from all over the world. And Kaizad is, a very well-traveled man. He's constantly on a plane going to different countries, and he likes to explore, and he goes to countries where you never imagine and looks for tobacco there, and he picks things that he likes, and he buys it, and he sends it to the factories that we work with, you know. And if you don't have the burden of growing your own tobacco and running your own factory, you have the ability to get this rare tobacco from all over the world, which is kind of what makes it special, you know. If he wants to buy tobacco from India, he can. If he wants to buy tobacco from Costa Rica or Peru, he can. He doesn't got to try to grow it all in Nicaragua or DR. And that's, you know, that's his approach. And it, you know what? It actually makes kind of sense to me. So,
fair enough. Following that up, we've got a question from, I think, someone who hasn't asked a question on Cigar Chat before, Perietta Magrante. I apologize, Perietta, if I've jacked up your name there. But Perry, I want us to know, first of all, have you smoked some or all of the sort of premium, ultra premium, high end Gurkhas? And if so, what stands out as your favorite?
I have not smoked them all, just because there's some that are just too expensive. Like I won't even look. I don't doubt that I would be allowed to have one. I don't want to cross that line.
You know, it's only been
2 months. Not only that, they're actually, you know, we don't lie when we say they're very, very limited. So I can't smoke the profits, right? That would be not so good. But what would be my favorite one? That's you know what? I love the Triad. The Gurkha Triad is the Triad Platinum is a insanely fantastic cigar, and I would consider it's an ultra premium. It's a $300 stick, right? Yeah, that's pretty ultra premium.
I think that probably just makes the cut. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's crazy that we just did like a TV show for CNBC, like the Lives of the Ultra Rich, and they're like, we need to film all the most expensive cigars, and like I'm putting it, you know, I'm setting up the display, and I bring out that box, and they're like, well, how much are those cigars? I'm like, they're about $300 a piece, and they're like, nah, take them out. I was like, geez, sorry.
Maybe they don't make the cut.
You know, but those to me are phenomenal. They've gone up in price throughout the years because we don't really make them anymore. Those were very limited. You can find them in certain places for a little bit of a better price just because they bought it years ago. But, you know, as they're not made anymore, the numbers go down, so the prices go up. But if you find them online somewhere or in a shop, take one. I mean, you won't regret it.
So when you smoked it, did you pair it with anything?
Yeah, I've actually smoked it a couple times, to be quite honest.
You found a box and you squirreled it away in your desk and nobody knows. I won't tell them.
It was kind of like a welcome on board gift.
Nice.
Box of them. So I got I was pretty stoked with that, and I've had some with. So I've smoked with rum, I smoked it with single malt scotch, and I smoked it with bourbon, all three. And you know, it's pretty awesome with all three. Rum-wise, I've definitely loved Zafra. It's one of my favorites. Bourbon-wise.
I've never actually heard of Zafra. That's
really?
that's a new one to me.
It's a Panamanian rum. Cigar Fiction, I'll give it high ratings. Superior cigars, it's amazing. Their youngest rum is 21 years.
Maybe that's why it's out of my price range.
You know what? I'll tell you what. At the show, I'm gonna have a couple bottles with me, and you come try some at the booth.
Yeah, you don't need to tell us twice.
Yeah, I've bourbon wise, I smoked it with Widow Jane, which is my favorite bourbon for sure. I don't know if you ever got to try that, but phenomenal. It's out of New York. And
that's more of a boutique brand, isn't it?
It is.
Small batch type stuff.
I'm kind of a small batch boutique whore, you know.
As he says, working for a company is selling 18 million cigars a year.
Yeah, but we really, you know, yeah. But we're still mom and pop, you know.
That's a battle you're always going to have to fight, my friend. You're always going to have to fight that battle.
I was having that discussion with my better half the other day, you know, and she's well integrated into this business. And we're talking. I'm like, yeah, but because we're boutique. And she's like, you can't be boutique when you sell that many cigars. And I'm like, but we are. We're really a tiny place, but whatever. And then scotch-wise, you know, I've had it with the Petey stuff, you know, Ardbeg, which I like a lot. And I've had it with Linkwood, which is from Speyside. It goes great. It's just a phenomenal cigar all across the board.
Nice.
The Maduro. That to me is the – I don't know. If I had to pick one cigar out of the entire company, I would say that one for me is it. My palate.
Interesting. I just looked up Zafra online. It's actually not that expensive.
Well, no, it's not.
The 30 year is. But the 20 year is pretty approachable.
It is.
For a 21-year-old spirit. I mean, it's only, what, 40, 45, 46 bucks. That's not too bad. Mm-hmm.
That's a steal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll also look up Widow Jane here in a minute.
Man, that right there, if you could ever get your hands on it, brilliant.
Let me see here. This makes for really good radio, me looking stuff up.
While you're looking it up, Eddie, what's your favorite expression from Ardbeg? Because Ardbeg has a really great, you know, annual release of. I actually just went through a vertical of like 15 Ardbegs, I think about a month ago, and ended up, of course, as the verticals go, ended up grabbing two bottles of stuff I hadn't had. But what's your favorite?
They were doing that vertical thing across the country because I went to the same one here in Miami, and nice. They were promoting what was the name of it? Everyone was dressed kind of like a gypsy. It was like midnight something. I don't know. Like if it's not the 10-year-old, I have a bottle over here somewhere. I don't know. But Ardbeg's a great, great single malt. You like the peaty stuff?
I mean, I love everything. But yeah, if I go to is like Ardbeg, the Quarry of Wrekin. I actually just picked up the. One of the bottles I picked up from Vertical, and I've forgotten the name of it, which I shouldn't have because it cost a few pennies. But what I like is that they've got those sort of limited expressions, and you know.
Yeah, they do it yearly. Yeah. They definitely do it yearly, and they won Whiskey of the Year like 4 years ago, and they came out with something pretty amazing at that time. I was in Thailand at that point. I picked up a bottle of that, and put a hurting to myself. It was great.
Do they mark up the spirits in Thailand as well, or is it just cigars?
It's spirits get marked up, but like 100% markup, which is pretty normal across the board when it comes like internationally. Tobacco wise, it's where you get hit. Thailand has its own Thai tobacco monopoly. It's literally the company's called the Thai Tobacco Monopoly. That's kind of, and we were the only non-Thais that imported tobacco into the country. So.
Wow.
Interesting. I found this Widow Jane. That's not that expensive either.
No, man. You don't got to spend a lot of money to have good stuff.
It's just you got to be able to get your hands on it.
You just got to be – and that's the problem.
And that's where you have to know somebody.
Mm, or you just got to, you know, make a trip to that – like Widow Jane, like you find a lot in Jersey and New York. So anytime I'm in the area, I'm like, where is it?
I gotta call Matt. Matt's my Jersey hookup. Matt, I need some Widow Jane. Make it happen.
I just remembered. So the Ardbeg I picked up was the Ardbeg Ardbog.
Okay. Yeah. That's good stuff.
I think the one you were talking about was the Ardbeg Knight.
Yes.
Yep.
My man. There you go.
John, when it comes to whiskey, John knows his stuff. There's a lot.
I've been known to enjoy a whiskey or two.
There's a lot of whiskeys that I've been lucky enough to try simply because John shared with me.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. There's so many good Japanese whiskeys out too. It's
just, oh man,
this is where we start to lose our audience a little bit, though.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys.
So, no, we're just about at the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment here. So if we go off the edge on some whiskey a little bit, that's okay. There's some interesting stuff out there. I'll have to track down the Widow Jane. It's not the first time I've heard it. I've heard a couple of times it's been mentioned, so definitely something that I'll look for. But that Zafra, I'm going to have to pick up a bottle of that. It looks like it's pretty readily available. I love rum, but I feel like if I'm drinking Florida Caña or I'm drinking Zacapa, that's really about it.
Yeah, listen, I don't discriminate. I'm an equal opportunity employer, man. I drink them all, but if I was stuck on the island and I had to pick one, that'd be it.
Equal opportunity in Viber. I like that.
Yeah.
There you go. John, we got what, about a minute left?
We got about a minute left. So maybe Eddie, can you tell our audience a little bit about where to find more information online on the Gurkha and maybe some social media contacts if they want to reach out on Twitter, Instagram, and all those fun places?
Yeah. I mean, we pretty much streamlined it. You know, it's GurkhaCigars.com. Our Facebook is Facebook/GurkhaCigars. Our Instagram and Twitter is @GurkhaCigars. And I'm pretty active on all of them. I check them quite a bit. So,
you know. So you actually answer the emails for these?
A lot of times, yeah. Yeah, I do.
When you get to an intern, man.
No, I mean, I got a couple people that do that, but like I want to know what people say, and I personally reply back, you know. And I even deal with like customer service problems, you know, when I start like dealing with those things, because it's like I read them like, oh man, we got to fix that, or oh man, that was awesome, let's share that with the world. You know, while an intern might not really get all that, they'll just be like, hey.
Okay, yeah, awesome, thanks for the message.
Yeah.
No, that's good, man.
YOLO.
I think that's refreshing to hear for at least for some of our audience that you might be taking a little bit of a different approach than what was taken in the past. So that's
possibly
That's a good thing. It's a step in the right direction. So good to hear about that. Eddie, congratulations on the new gig. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Everybody in the Armed Forces Radio Network, I say this every week, you guys are built to do something I'm not built to do. I have nothing but respect for everything you guys do for us, and appreciate every moment that you guys spend out there. I hope that you had a chance to relax and have a cigar and listen to our musings for 45 minutes and laughed at my idiocy every once in a while. We'll be back next week. And actually, John, do you know who we have next week? I know we have a few
I don't. I'm pulling it up, though. It's Cornelius and Anthony.
Yeah, Cornelius and Anthony. We're going from Gurkha, who sells 18 million cigars a year, to Cornelius and Anthony. It's a brand new company. So we hit all ends of the spectrum here on Cigar Chat. So thanks for tuning in. It'll be another fun show next week. Everybody have a great week, great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll catch you on CigarFederation.com.
Bye.
All right, we're fucking back. This is where Logan would say shit, bitch, cock, balls, and all that stuff. Basically, I mean, we're still live. I told you that already. Still goes on YouTube. And we get that little explicit right next to our podcast on iTunes. So we figure we may as well fucking
earn it.
So
that shit.
Yeah. We try to get in as much effing as we can.
So Eddie, do you know what's your booth number at the IPCPR?
Fuck.
I'm just gonna throw you right into the
bus. That's the one question that, you know what, even if you told us the booth number, we wouldn't know where.
No, we're gonna totally.
No, man. Look, I do know where we are, though. We're right next to Drew Estate, you know. So we'll,
that's a good spot.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, we'll, two massive booths right next to each other, you know.
Nice.
One, you know, we'll both be having a party.
Well, I'm pleased that, and we talked about this before. Sorry, John, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I'm very pleased that we're back in Vegas.
Fuck yeah!
It's gonna be
cool. Don't get me wrong. Like,
oh, exactly, and that's
great.
The same
food, thing. Great music. But absolutely, was it hot?
Sweat your nut off.
Hot as hell, and there's nowhere to smoke inside. Vegas is trending in that direction, unfortunately, but hopefully that doesn't. There's a place to meet up. You know, there wasn't really that place in New Orleans.
No, and you know what? It was a messy show for me personally. I wasn't with Gurkha at that time, and I was still buying for my international company. And at the same time, was a cocktail convention.
Yeah, so, that's right. The Tales of the Cocktail or whatever it's
called. Yeah. They do it there every year, and it was just like coincidentally. And I grew up in the liquor business, so I knew quite a bit of people there. So that was. You know, lack of better words, is a shit show, man. It was like, you're smoking cigars all day long and then drinking drinks all night. And then these cocktail conventions, what they do is like, they have breakfasts, but it's like, we have the Bloody Mary breakfast. We have the margarita breakfast. And so then you go to this breakfast and then you just
get lit.
Pretty much. And then you go to the show and then smoke cigars. It was like a never ending man party. That sounded weird.
But, I'm just happy that we're not going to be walking 2.2 miles between booths this year.
Oh, that, yeah, no. That hallway was brutal. That was brutal. And again, I know we
people from New Orleans probably don't like this conversation right now.
No, I had a blast. I had a blast in the city. My wife came the day that the show ended, and we stayed for a few more days and just had a great time.
Robbie and I wandered the streets at 3 a.m. looking for beer.
Yeah, we did. That was
trying to get stabbed.
Yeah,
but everyone was polite. You know what I did, man?
I did a couple nights. I disappeared into like where Tulane was and went to like the see some college bands rip up some jazz and blues, which a lot of people didn't do that. And that was, you can't go to New Orleans without checking out the music, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like I missed out on that.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was there's always, I feel like any city you go into, you can always find that underground music scene in New Orleans. It's not really underground; it's everywhere. But yeah, you went into a different area. I didn't
completely. Yeah, completely. That was fun.
That sounds great. But Vegas, it's going to be nice. Not too much. I mean, it's still going to be a lot of walking, but it's just square is so much better than long rectangle. I just feel
especially
like
when you don't got to leave AC and you could continue smoking all the way through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, if they don't steal your cigars from you on the way out, which at least they have in the past, you can. You just have to be creative. So we've got some giveaways. I know you sent that stuff to Logan. Logan's not here. I'm not sure what we're giving away, but we're just some sampler packs, I assume. So I'm not gonna promise what's in there.
I sent you quite a bit of boxes.
Yeah.
You know, so you're gonna actually have. Well, you're giving away some of the heritage. You know, I put some of my hits. You know, I actually put a couple boxes of that extreme that I was telling you about.
Okay. Oh, the one it's got like a year and a half, 2 years on it?
Yeah. And I put some Cellar Reserve 12-year-olds, so.
Nice. That's awesome. Thank you for being generous with that. I've picked some winners tonight based on questions. We're going to pick some random winners. We're going to pick some podcast winners. Email Logan. And I'm not just throwing him under the bus. I mean, he handles all this stuff. Email Logan at Cigar Federation. And the winners are, in the subject line, put Gurkha Cigar Chat.
Along with a statement saying that you are of age to smoke in your jurisdiction.
And to purchase tobacco in your jurisdiction.
Of course, the Canadian says that.
Well, you got to do it.
I feel it because Logan's not here. I got to cover for Logan, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man. And these next five guys put winner in the subject line as well, in no particular order. Chris Bros, Don Cazero, Brock Bowman, Trip, Big Trip, and the name, John, that you kind of messed up, Perietta Margarate. Again, Perietta, if we jacked up your name, I apologize. But you won some cigars, so I'm kind of okay with it. You guys email Logan at CigarFederation.com. Send some random emails and say something funny, and Logan will probably pick you. If you didn't win, again, do the same thing. Cigar Federation, or put Gurkha Cigar Chat in the subject line. If you're listening to the podcast, put podcast in the subject line. Let us know how you listen to our podcast. Where do you get it? Do you listen through iTunes or Podbean or some other random iTunes or a random podcast listener? Let us know. And he's probably not going to email you. You'll just get a random package in the mail one day. And we may do some stuff online too. I kind of want to do a little test, like we were talking about with your with your cigar nerd buddies. And I like to feel that most of the guys on Cigar Federation, all of them actually probably fall into that category. I want to do some kind of blind taste testing, just to get some honest opinions from folks online. I don't know how we'll do it, but we might hold back some five packs and mix in some other cigars and maybe find some guys on SigFed that are just some of our more contributing members and send them just a random blind five pack and it'll be five different cigars, something like that, maybe three different cigars and just get their feedback. And I'd be curious to see if, you know, maybe some guys will realize that there's a Gurkha cigar out there that they haven't tried, or maybe they have and they were whatever the band turned them off, or who knows. I mean, it's interesting when you smoke a cigar and you don't know what it is.
It's great.
It kind of changes your opinion. So. I don't know how we'll do it. I'm just spitballing, but maybe we'll do something like that.
And Perietta actually has a follow-up question, and I'm not sure if you can answer this, Eddie, but Perietta wants to know, what are you smoking tonight?
Yeah, I can totally answer that. I am smoking something that's not really out in the market right now. It is the Gurkha Heritage, but so I was telling you I had some made for me in Lanceros. And smoking those, playing around with them to see if we actually do release them or whatnot. But
some test blending. I like it.
Test blending, but like the blend's already picked. It's just I'm that guy, you know. I was like, hey, this is a great cigar. I love this cigar. So can you make me some Lanceros?
it's his second day on the job, and he's already making requests. I love it.
Yeah, I did that on the first day, to be quite honest.
I'm honest. Not even, well, it was your birthday.
Like, look at me like, come on, dude, really? But yeah, that was me.
And you are who?
Yeah. Please? But it's my birthday.
That's funny. No, yeah. It's funny. You say Lancero, and I can actually hear people that have maybe said some things about Gurkha. Maybe they don't like Gurkha cigars, whatever. But they want to smoke a Lancero. So I'm just saying. I know that's what people are thinking.
The Lancero Nation is strong.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially on SigFed. That's for sure.
It's a great Vitola. It's one of my favorites, man. You know,
it just doesn't sell.
It, you know what? It really doesn't. There is one place in Houston, though, that sells a bunch of them. They have a whole...
Stogies.
Yep. Stogies, and that's kind of... You know, we made the classic Havana blend in Lancero just for them originally. And that's... It's a good cigar, man.
Nice. That's awesome. So we kind of covered all the audience questions. We did the giveaways. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't touch on?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much touched on everything. It's just, you know, look out this year. There is a lot of great stuff coming out. You know, the way we all are as people, I love, you know, different stuff we've never tried, but you know, pick one up, try one out. I mean, you might be surprised. We have some good stuff. So
cool. Fair enough.
It'll change your opinion. And, you know, if you're a boutique-only smoker, give it a shot.
Yeah, you never know. Cool. So we'll see you in Vegas. And
absolutely.
Talk to us about the myriad of releases that you guys have. And
I'll definitely have some packages for you guys, and we'll have a little powwow.
Awesome. Yeah, we've got two camera crews going this year, so we're going to –
Oh wow!
Hopefully expand on our best in industry video coverage of IPCPR. John's got a new camera, so I'm going to need like a makeup artist or something because it's just going to make me look old.
It's going to look tight.
Yeah, I don't know about
that.
And you
know, we got our audio game on lockdown because you're next to Drew Estate. I think, was it 2000?
Pretty loud.
Oh my God, 2004, we did an ambient audio check, and ambient audio on the floor.
It's like a Jay-Z music video.
Yeah, it was 93 decibels. And we were in the booth last year, and Rob was probably, what were you, 3 feet away from me doing an interview? And I literally couldn't hear a word he was saying because it was about 110, 115, and the audio came through crystal clear. So I don't think we're going to have any issues.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty cool. I don't know if you know this. Here's a little fun fact on a friendly Thursday. I used to – you have a pretty big audience in Thailand, man.
Really?
Yeah.
John can tell you all about that. Yeah.
So when I was living over there, it was my way of kind of keeping up with what's haps in the industry, and you know, just, oh, how do you stay up to date with stuff? And then I would tell some guys, and I mean, I don't know how many people in total listen to you in Asia, but I do know quite a bit. So
nice. Well,
how do you say hello in Thai? Is it Swasti?
No, but I mean, you could say that and see what kind of reaction you get. They're probably like, what? No, it's Sawadi Kap, and it's, you know, it's different. Sawadi Kap is for, like, men say that, and Sawadi Ka, women say that. I mean, the different tones for the gender, it's quite confusing. I learned how to speak Thai by accident. I originally didn't want to those first couple of years I was there because I was like, where else am I going to speak this in the world except for Thailand? And somehow, some way, I ended up becoming fluent.
Nice.
The guy who doesn't want to learn the language is the one who learns it. That
kind of happened. All my friends are taking classes trying to learn, and I didn't learn a word, and here I'm trying not to learn, and I learned it.
That's funny. I wish I could try not to learn Spanish. And just learn it. That would be great.
Right. I mean, yeah. exactly.
I've been trying to not learn it for like 25 years, and it hasn't that hasn't worked for me.
Move to Miami, man. You would have no choice but to speak. And my better half doesn't speak Spanish, and she's here, and she's like, "Why is everyone speaking to me in Spanish? Like I'm in America." And that's just like,
we just talked about that on a show, and I can't remember who it was.
It's hilarious.
But they were like, "Yeah, if you don't speak Spanish and you go into a subway in a particular neighborhood, you're not going to be able to order a sandwich."
No, and then when you ask to speak in English, they kind of get offended. They're like, "What do you think you are?" It's like, "I'm in America, dude." Like,
that's funny. That's funny. Eddie, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for being so generous with your time.
No, my pleasure, well. Man. It's been great. Loved every second of it.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you in kind of like 2 weeks, 3 weeks in Vegas and talk about all the new stuff. Really do appreciate it. Guys, thanks for checking out another episode of Cigar Chats. Episode 200 and something. I don't know what number we're on. We've been doing it for a while, so I don't know what episode we're on. 200 and something sounds about right, though, John, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I think it's like 269 or something like that.
Nice.
It's a lot.
Nice. Wow, nice. We're creeping up on 300. Nice, yep. That's awesome. So again, we'll be back next week with Cornelius and Anthony, and then after that, we've got kind of a IPCPR ramp-up show with Logan and myself and John. Hopefully you can join us, and we'll just talk about the upcoming show, and we'll have the guys from SaveTheLeaf.org are going to come on, and they're putting together that HERF.
Big movement, man.
Yeah, they're putting together the HERF in D.C., and they're going to talk to us about a little bit of everything that they're working on, so that's going to be fun. And then we'll be in Vegas, so there won't be a show that week, but we'll have daily updates and all kinds of stuff, so... again, really do appreciate it. Find us on CigarFederation.com. Download the app if you haven't. You can download it wherever apps are downloaded for whatever you download your apps to. You can find it there. And everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Adios.
Later.